This morning's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and you can find that on page 1089 of the Church Bibles. John chapter 20, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, verse 19, Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him, in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Louise, and good morning, everybody. As we look at today's passage, may I speak in the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, after the resurrection last Sunday and Archdeacon Catherine's sermon around the three words, "He has risen," we are now following a short post-Easter sermon series entitled, "The Power Of." Today is the power of believing without seeing. Next week is the power of forgiveness, and the following week, the power of making Jesus known. Last week, we had Mary seeing, but the disciples doubting. Mary saw the risen Lord, even though she thought at first that he was the gardener. But the disciples seem not to have believed her. This week we read that Jesus appeared to the disciples, removing any doubt. But still Thomas, who was not there, did not believe. So today I want to consider how easy we find it to believe without seeing. Are you good at doubting? Do you have an ability to move from utmost certainty to utmost doubt in a moment? It could be as mundane as, "Did I lock the car?" Or more significant, like the question about whether there is a quiet revival happening. Or, as it appears, is the data flawed? As a chief finance officer, I occasionally had doubts when quoting numbers. Did I quote the right number to a minister, an analyst, a shareholder? Rest assured, mostly I did. I could go on, but the big question today is how, as Christians, do we bring ourselves to believe and not doubt? How are we able to follow our calling to be disciples, believing the gospel, and evangelists spreading the gospel? We've just joined together in a shortened version of the creed, saying together, "This we have received, and this we believe." Now, as a church family, we've recently updated our church beliefs, beliefs that Nick and Jules shared with us earlier this year, which will shortly be on our website. And I thought it might be useful if I put them on the screen, please, Pete. They're a bit small. So as a reminder, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, our Savior and King. We believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, who daily guides us and helps us on our journey of faith. We believe the Bible is the infallible word of God, essential for teaching and instruction in our daily living. We believe God calls us into a relationship with him through the intimacy of prayer. We believe in using our God-given gifts in the service of God and others. We believe in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in both word and action, loving and serving those around us. That's a lot of believing. And we don't have the luxury of seeing most of them. Instead, we rely on other senses to believe. These beliefs underpin our faith, which is the root of our Christian lives. Believing that there is a loving, forgiving God guiding our lives day after day. Beliefs are not the same as rules. We're not following a set of rules as Christians. We don't behave the way we do because we are told to. Instead, we act the way we do because of our beliefs and our cultural heritage. You and I may doubt one or more of the beliefs, or even our faith completely. And if we doubt our faith, which is understandable when things seem to go against us, what helps us believe again? Is it through seeing, as Thomas did, or do we rely on real life experiences, reading, debating, studying? Or can we be a bit lazy and simply follow the crowd? Today's reading is the story of Doubting Thomas, which is a label that Thomas rather unfairly has. Weren't all the disciples doubting? Catherine reminded us last week that there was a great deal of uncertainty, fear, confusion, and a lack of understanding after Jesus' crucifixion, just as there is uncertainty about the importance of Christianity and faith in the 21st century across the UK. As I was writing this talk, I came across the following. The important thing about Christianity is not whether it makes us feel better or whether it is good for society, but whether it is true. If it is, we should all want to know that. And if it isn't, we are right to reject it. The one thing we should not do is to refuse to properly consider it. And in Western society, that is all too easy. John tells us that the disciples were gathered together in a locked room when Jesus came and stood among them, breathed on them so they received the Holy Spirit. Why were they in a locked room? What or who were they hiding from? Were they deep in discussion, even argument? They still seemed unable to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, fulfilling scripture and totally transforming the way salvation works. As I said earlier, they had received eyewitness testimony from Mary. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb, and John had seen and believed. And yet they still struggled to understand. And we read in verse 24 that Thomas was not there. He must have had something more important to do. This is the same Thomas who was both courageous, saying in John chapter 11, verse 16, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And Thomas was also questioning, saying in John 14, verse 15, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas was, by all accounts, an astute, brave person who was ultimately martyred for his faith. But here, 1 week after Jesus had appeared to the other disciples, time enough surely to persuade him, he still could not believe. It took Jesus to appear again, providing Thomas with visual evidence. Thomas now had the proof he needed, and Jesus uttered the eternal words, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And if you look forward into verses 30 and 31, you will then see that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He did things that they may have seen. We don't have that luxury. So arguably, Thomas might be better described as believing Thomas rather than doubting Thomas. Thomas and the other disciples saw and believed, whilst we have to believe what we cannot see. Now, doubting or lacking faith is not a sin. Being honest about our faith and finding doubts is quite normal. What would be a sin is to have doubts and questions and not do anything about them. As someone with an incurable cancer, there are several reasons for me to doubt, but thankfully, I still believe and find my faith strengthened. I am secure through God's grace and his love. And across the church in the UK, or even here at Christ Church, we will all find areas to doubt. Areas where we might interpret scripture differently. That's not a problem. And through our weekly worship, our life groups, our men's group, the forums, we can argue, we can talk, we can discuss, we can disagree, but we should always stay together. As a community of faithful Christians, we should ask questions which help us to learn and to grow. But we need to remain gracious, generous, and accepting. We need to hold together people with sophisticated and sure faith, and people with emerging, doubting, questioning faith, and everyone in between. I think we've been doing this as our church wardens and PCC have been preparing our parish profile, making sure we end up with the best document we can as part of the process to ensure that the right person feels called to become our new vicar. Do we doubt that they will be identified and appointed? Helpfully, the Bible contains several examples of ways to believe. There is Peter's explanation at Pentecost, which we'll look at more when we celebrate Pentecost, or Peter's first letter, where he talks about hope and community, the hope that the resurrection really is true, and the community of others who feel the same way. We're studying Peter when this sermon series ends, so expect more in May and June. Paul's letters contain a range of examples about things we should believe as part of our faith. Paul extends salvation beyond the Israelites, providing reasons why the rest of the world could and should also believe. And if you want to go way, way back, go to Exodus and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea on dry land before the Egyptians caught up with them and drowned when the wind died down and the sea returned. Moses could not see what was going to happen, but he believed God would rescue the Israelites and lead them to the promised land. Most of the Israelites seemed to have forgotten how faithful God is, but thankfully Moses held firm. In all cases, faith is crucial, believing what we cannot see. So to help us believe, we have to rely on our wide range of senses. We observe, we study, we debate, we question. And we might also use our instinct, like President Trump claims he is using to decide when the war with Iran is done. We use all our senses every day to help explain what's going on in our lives. It's more complicated than ever, living in a world of fake news, the rise of AI, and a lazy approach when using things like ChatGPT. Louise and I have been watching The Capture on the BBC. Who else has been watching The Capture? It's scary stuff, isn't it? Camera images are manipulated. Not everyone is quite as honest as they should be. And to be honest, you end up at the end of it with an awful lot of questions, in my view. But it needs questioning. Now, thankfully, God created us with an amazing capacity to think, to analyze, to discern. And he also gave us the Holy Spirit. We should give thanks every day for this, and we should ensure we use all our talents effectively, as one of our beliefs said, in the service of God. We must be even more vigilant than usual, given the influence of social media and the temptation to follow the herd. It's more important than ever for us to pray and study the Bible regularly if we are to walk in step with God, letting the Holy Spirit into our hearts. So how do we do this? How do we believe what we cannot see? As we enter this period post-Lent, how will we respond to God's call? How will we learn more, share more, and be overt Christians, sharing the good news and the reality that life under Christ's rule is the richest life imaginable? Will we challenge false teaching and seek to influence people who may have doubts? If we follow Jesus, live the way he lived, then the kingdom will come. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. As believers, we cannot see heaven yet, but we will in time. As Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen.